thanks, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Meditate this day on these words when Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In Jesus' name, you're baptized. Today, we see again the gift of Christ suffering the death on the cross and how he keeps giving to his bride, the church. You probably weren't consciously thinking of those words of our text when you heard them this morning when Pastor Fro said, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Those sins were forgiven, not because Pastor Fro said so, but because God said so. Because Jesus breathed on his apostles and sent them. The sent one, our Lord Jesus Christ, sends the apostles who send the pastors into the church of our dear Lord. When you hear those words, the peace and joy of the resurrection comes flooding into your life. For you have received in the gospel today a wonderful picture of the tenderness and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who offered his life for sinners and then rose from the dead. But put yourself just for a brief moment in the place of those disciples, and perhaps you will better see how much God loves you and wants to forgive your sins and wants to bring you the peace that surpasses all understanding. The disciples, we are told in the text, were gathered in the upper room for fear of the Jews. Sometimes the word of God seems so far and distant from us, even when that word comes from an angel, as it did to the women at the tomb, and the women who heard the messenger of God proclaim that Jesus was the risen Lord had immediately gone and told the disciples. But there was a nagging fear. Was it real? Would the haters of Jesus get to them first? And what would Jesus' response to them be before they had all pledged with Peter, "I will never deny you," and yet all had fled from him that night? They hadn't done very well in their self-given commitments. They had all rejected Jesus and fled from him in time of need. In the face of fear and opposition, their friends and relatives, they have left Jesus to die the common death of a criminal, whether a friend or a loved one, except for his mother, little John, that stayed with him to the bitter end. Maybe it was that fear that the disciples faced the evening of the resurrection. Perhaps this is the type of fear that every sinner faces as he comes from birth, knowing for God's love and God's forgiveness. Jesus does not give the disciples what they fear, nor what they deserve. Rather, Jesus comes to the midst of them and gives them peace. "Peace be with you," he says. "Peace, not war." Peace, reconciliation, what had separated and what had brought wrath, is now removed. Peace, not the comeuppance they so richly deserved. And that is what Jesus comes to give you this day. And when Jesus had given them peace, he showed them his hands and his side. And then they're told the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. God gives peace by his word. He shows them the reality of how that peace came to be. But it is his word, finally, that creates faith and that gives peace, a peace that the world cannot give. For the word of God, which created the world and everything in it, creates faith in your heart and gives you the peace that sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now consider for a brief moment these great treasures that give you the forgiveness of sins. There is first and foremost holy baptism that washes and cleanses away that which has separated us from God and makes it possible for faith to be alive and well in dead and dry bones. There is holy absolution, which is nothing more than a return to that very same baptismal faith. And there is the Holy Supper that personally brings to each and every recipient that body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins. All of these bring to you, through the word and promises of God, the life and work of Jesus Christ, his gift to you. Now Jesus, the Sent One, having finished his work, now stands so that the benefits and blessings of his work might be given to all people. The Apostle Paul, speaking of this, when he was asked about authority, says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards, caretakers of the mysteries of God. There are no greater mysteries than how, through the suffering and death of Jesus, through holy baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper, the preaching and teaching and hearing of his word, these gifts are given and distributed. From the apostolic office to the pastoral office, all these are gifts of Christ. Some seem to think of this office, however, as an office of offense, an office of which they have no need. You have need for a sent one. You have need of forgiveness of sins from God or man. You have need of reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. You have need to forgive and be forgiven. You have a need to be right with God. Then, dear friend and sinner, you are in exactly the right place. For it is in this place that the sent one speaks for him, the one who sends, the words he, the sender, desires you to hear. This forgiveness of God through the means of grace affords comfort to troubled hearts. As many of you who stand in faith in this world, as many of you who do daily battle, day in and day out with this sinful world and against your own sinful desires, you need